Christmas. We've talked about the relationships and how that was even important for Jesus in his life to have family that he was a part of. Another aspect last week, we talked about home, where hometown or home would be and the impact it has on our lives, and we talked about Jesus' hometown. Well, today we're going to talk about the thing you cannot dispense with when it comes to Christmas. We're going to talk about Jesus himself. The verse, the main sort of central verse for this sermon, is Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. It says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and we will call him Emmanuel." Let's pray. Lord, as we think about this most essential part of Christmas, other things might come and go, other things might be important or not at the moment, but Lord, we want to celebrate the reason why this holiday exists, because Father above sent his one and only Son to be the first gift ever given because of the birth of his Son into the world. Lord, we want to focus on you this season and be reminded of the reason why we are worshiping and why we give presents and why we celebrate. Amen. That key word, Emmanuel, is one that I'm sure you're familiar with. It means God with us. The reason why it matters so much is that it identifies who Jesus is. His role was to be God here with us on earth. So often God is thought of as the person up in heaven, far away. And yet Jesus fills a special role. In the role of being the Son of God, he's the one who is imminently close, very near to us. His coming matters for us personally. One of my favorite true Christmas stories is this one. Some years ago, there was a pastor who the day after Christmas was coming into the building in order to get ready for worship. Christmas had been on a Friday. He was coming in on Saturday so that he could get ready for Sunday morning worship service. He was walking around the church, making sure these things were in order. And as he came to the manger scene that was on the stage in the sanctuary, he noticed that baby Jesus was gone. He'd only just arrived the day before, and he disappeared. Well, he called everybody he could think of. Called the trustees and the church janitor, saying, "Did you happen to move baby Jesus?" Then he moved on to the deacons, and he moved on to other people who might have been in the building. Well, one of those people that he called ended up telling the police. And the police showed up and started interviewing and asking questions about where baby Jesus was, who saw him last, who might have had motive to take him. When worship started the next day, the congregation had come in. Baby Jesus was still missing from the manger. And as the police were just leaving because they had done their last check before they were going, there was a rumble that started at the back. The rumble came closer and started coming down the central aisle. And as the person making all the noise came to the front, it was clear that baby Jesus had been kidnapped. A little boy had brought his wagon in with baby Jesus in the wagon. And after a short interview and a little bit of questioning about what was going on, the little boy gave this explanation. He said, "I've had years when I had asked Santa for presents and he didn't deliver. And so this year I asked Jesus for a little red wagon. And I said, if you gave it to me, he would get the first ride." The aspect of that story that I think is so heartwarming is that this child understood that Jesus was real and a part of his life. That Jesus was someone that he could communicate with and be with. And he had a relationship, even at a child's level. The idea of God with us is that very idea. that we can have a close, personal relationship with God where he is in our lives, where we can connect with him and have a relationship with him. He's not distant or far away. He is right near, close to us. And that kind of relationship is possible. We can know Jesus on that kind of level. I think this child's faith stirs up in us, or maybe wakes up in us, a longing that for many Christians feels unfulfilled. Some Christians feel like Christ is far away. They feel distance. And a faith that was once alive and real and personal has kind of gone into a slumber. When they hear others talk about how close they feel that Christ is in their life, they wonder what is wrong with themselves. The first thing I think we need to understand is that it is God's intent, his desire, that each Christian should know Emmanuel, God with us. God's desire is that we, on an individual, personal level, would be able to speak of Jesus as Emmanuel, God with us, in our lives, involved in our decisions, someone with whom we communicate and talk and know on a personal level. But we have to understand that this is true for every believer, not just some kind of super disciple, not just some sort of super Christian. God wants a deep and amazing relationship with each person. Jesus, as he's talking to his disciples, describes a relationship between he and they in these words: "Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." That word "remain" gets repeated 3 times in that verse. There's other ways that word gets translated as well. Another way to describe that word is abide. Another one is dwell. Your house is probably a place where you abide, where you dwell. You go home there and you sit and you relax. You know every room, you know every spot, you know where the things are in your house. It is comfortable. It is something that you are familiar with and that you feel safe and secure in. And that is the idea of having a relationship with him, that we would be living with him, that there would be an intimate knowledge of him and he of us. And the relationship is one of depth and comfort and security and grace. That kind of personal relationship is one that God wants with all of us, available to every single believer, not just the super Christians. That kind of relationship of knowing God on a deep and personal level. He wants to abide with us, to dwell with us. When you've lived with somebody for even just a few weeks or months, you get to know things about them that nobody else knows. Intimate knowledge of their habits and their ideas and how they speak and what their personality is like. God wants to dwell with us and us with him, so that there is an intimate personal knowledge that he has and that is a deep and satisfying relationship. He wants that we abide. One of the most neglected chapters in all of the Bible, I think, is John chapter 17. And yet it is so rich with wonderful things that Jesus talked about and prayed for. He spoke of a personal presence, a personal connection that he wants with us. in the very last verse of the chapter, it says, I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. Jesus speaks of dwelling within us, living in us, an intimate and deep relationship where he abides in our lives, connected to us in a deep and personal way. That kind of relationship with Christ is one that takes time to develop. It's one that takes effort to cultivate. But many people miss out. Many people don't understand that Jesus has that desire and ability to be with us no matter where we go and what we're going through. Striving and growing in that relationship with him takes effort and time, purpose. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, John writes about this kind of life and relationship. One translation reads this way. This is the life we have seen and heard. We are reporting about it to you also, so that you too can have a relationship with us. Our relationship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. The Apostle John is writing to those who are feeling like God is distant to them. And he's explaining to them the very reason why the gospel was preached, the very reason why they were offered and explained what it is to have salvation. The reason for that offer of salvation is not merely so that people will have an intellectual understanding of who Jesus is. It's not so they can give the appropriate answer when they stand before the gates of heaven. It's not so that they can give the appropriate reply whenever they're getting ready to be baptized. It's not so that they can just give a verbal answer or know some kind of knowledge. The reason for this gospel and the reason for this idea of salvation is so that people might have a relationship with God. John says that our, speaking of himself and the apostles and the early church, he says our relationship as the early church is with the Father and the Son. Our relationship is with them. One translation uses the word fellowship. But the reason why the gospel is told to someone else is so that they are too invited in to a relationship with God. They are invited in to know the Father and know the Son. That word of fellowship means a deep and abiding connection with someone, more than just a surface level, more than just an acknowledgement of truth. Fellowship is an intimate connection, a deep relationship. We are inviting and invited into a deep, abiding, close relationship so that we too might say of Jesus, he is Emmanuel. He is God with us. It's the reason why Jesus says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am with them also. Because with us, being in relationship to us, is the very basis of what salvation is all about. There are things that get in the way of people knowing Emmanuel. There are things that get to be barriers to having a friendship with Jesus. Jesus gives a list in one of his parables. The parable occurs in Matthew 13, verses 20 through 22, though we won't read them. But what he lists as barriers to having a fruitful, healthy relationship with himself, with God, includes worries, busyness, stress. When the word is planted in our lives, it can spring up very quickly. When the gospel and God's word is planted in us, it can grow healthy and have huge fruit and development in our lives. But what chokes it out is stress and worry. What burns it out is busyness, anxiety. When we worry about all those other things, it's so hard to develop a relationship with Jesus. Those things can rob us of knowing Him on a personal, deep level. And so we must take time. We must let go of our worries and our stresses and remember that Jesus is in control. Relationships take time to develop. They might start small and grow to great fruit, but a relationship with Jesus is essential to our spiritual lives. So if you're struggling, if you're feeling like Jesus is distant and far away from you, it's a chance to dig deeper, a chance to go deeper into your relationship with Him and get to know Him. This sermon worked out perfectly for an advertisement. Are you ready? If I could sing a jingle, I would, but I'm going to move straight to the punchline. This next year, we're going to push for a church-wide emphasis into deepening a heart for Jesus, into having a deeper relationship with Him. In January, we're going to focus on prayer and quiet times as a foundation for our spiritual life. That taking moments to pray, taking moments to read His word, taking moments to be with Him is essential for building us deeper and having a greater relationship with Him. On that foundation of quiet times and relationship with Jesus, there'll be some avenues that you can take for your own personal benefit that might not apply to somebody else. One is, if you've got a hurt, something that has happened in your life that causes you grief and worry, we can talk about how to address those in a Christian way and how that can be used as a place of bringing up and strengthening our faith. For some, it's a sin issue. For some, it's something that they do that's a habit that they've formed and they need to push back against it. Maybe that's something you need to dive into in order to have a deeper relationship with Jesus. So often when we talk about a relationship with Jesus and we talk about a quiet time, there are a group of people who find that absolutely boring. There are some who don't want to spend 30 minutes praying or spend a lot of time reading a Bible verse or two or three. Each of us is wired in a different way. We each have a different personality than others. And as a result, our relationship with God is not going to be the carbon copy of somebody else. One thing I want to do in this deepening a heart for Jesus is also talking about other ways that we can deepen our faith that may be more fitting for some personalities than others. Because having a relationship with Him is kind of just about hanging out, spending time with Jesus. And how that forms and how that shapes is going to look different from one person to the next. feeling and knowing that Jesus is present in your life is not just for super Christians. A personal friendship with the Lord is the norm, the way it's supposed to be for each person. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. And so I want us to consider one additional verse. It's one that you will be familiar with. Take me a moment to flip to the right place here. Jesus uses the analogy of a shepherd with sheep. And he says this, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me." That relationship between a sheep and a shepherd is the one where the shepherd can simply call out to the sheep, where he knows them by name, and they follow. Because the sheep hear his voice. They know the sound of it. They can figure out his voice and not be confused about someone else's. The relationship here described between sheep and shepherd is one that is intimate and personal. And that is the kind of relationship that Jesus wants with each one of you. At Christmas, we talk about God with us. But it is not just something for December. It is for January and February and July and August. It is for every day of the year. It's not just at Christmas that Jesus is Emmanuel. It's who he is all the time. If you're looking for a deeper relationship with God, to fill that burning desire within you, the answer is a deep relationship with him. Let's pray. Lord, as many hearts feel strained and distant, I pray, Lord, that they are reminded that you have never walked away. That you have always been there and available for every moment and every circumstance. Lord, I pray for those with hurting hearts today. I pray, Lord, that as they pray and as they get close to you, that you would mend them, fill them, and make them whole. I pray, Lord, for those who every day have their moment of prayer and Bible reading and have that deep relationship that goes on and on day after day. And I pray, Lord, that you would help them see that a relationship with you can be even better than they've known so far. Lord, I pray for each one that they might know you as their Lord and Savior, that they might know you as their shepherd and as their Emmanuel. Amen.